Unit 3. Part 2. Development of 4R Skills. Listening. Section A. Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
A question from the teacher. Susanna Wesson writes, I teach English to French students of engineering who benefit very much from your foreign student series.Could you do a program on money, banking, and shopping for students in the U.S.? Many colleges and universities in the United States have guidelines for what they consider reasonable budgets for personal spending. Senem Baca is the Assistant Director of International Student Service at American University in Washington, D.C. She suggests that students' budgetsAt least $1,300 for a 9-month school year. This will help pay for things like transportation, telephone bills, supplies and entertainment. Paul Butler is the financial manager in the Office of International Services at Indiana University, Bloomington. He says the advice there is to have at least $2,400 for 12 months in the United States.Indiana and many other schools also offer advice on ways to manage spending and save money. For example, for entertainment, look for free concerts or museums. Want to go to a movie? Prices are usually lower in the daytime than at night.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2.
A question from the teacher.Susanna Wesson writes, I teach English to French students of engineering who benefit very much from your foreign student series. Could you do a program on money, banking, and shopping for students in the U.S.? Many colleges and universities in the United States have guidelines for what they consider reasonable budgets for personal spending.Senem Baca is the Assistant Director of International Student Service at American University in Washington, D.C. She suggests that students' budgets at least $1,300 for a 9-month school year. This will help pay for things like transportation, telephone bills, supplies and entertainment. Paul Butler is the financial manager in the Office of International Services at Indiana University, Bloomington. He says the advice there is to have at least $2,400 for 12 months in the United States. Indiana and many other schools also offer advice on ways to manage spending and save money. For example, for entertainment, look for free concerts or museums. Want to go to a movie? Prices are usually lower in the daytime than at night.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 3.
A question from the teacher. Susanna Wesson writes, I teach English to French students of engineering who benefit very much from your foreign student series. Could you do a program on money, banking, and shopping for students in the U.S.? Many colleges and universities in the United States have guidelines for what they consider reasonable budgets for personal spending. Senem Baca is the Assistant Director of International Student Service at American University in Washington, D.C. She suggests that students' budgets at least $1,300 for a 9-month school year.This will help pay for things like transportation, telephone bills, supplies and entertainment. Paul Butler is the financial manager in the Office of International Services at Indiana University, Bloomington. He says the advice there is to have at least $2,400 for 12 months in the United States.Indiana and many other schools also offer advice on ways to manage spending and save money. For example, for entertainment, look for free concerts or museums. Want to go to a movie? Prices are usually lower in the daytime than at night.
Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 4. The National Association for Business Economics has its latest predictions for the American economy. Most of the 45 business economists questioned said they expect the recession to end in the second half of the year, but they also expect a slower-than-usual recovery. Still, there were more signs this week that Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Conference Board said its Consumer Confidence Index had its biggest jump in 6 years in May. The National Association of Realtors reported that sales of existing homes rose about 3% from March to April. The Commerce Department said sales of new single-family houses also rose, but just by 0.3%. The Federal Housing Finance Agency said home prices fell 7% in the first 3 months of the year, but that was less than they fell at the end of 2008, compared to a year earlier. Housing recoveries usually follow employment recoveries. Experts say job losses might slow later this year, but the unemployment rate could rise until the middle of next year.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 5.
The National Association for Business Economics has its latest predictions for the American economy. Most of the 45 business economists questioned said they expect the recession to end in the second half of the year, but they also expect a slower-than-usual recovery. Still, there were more signs this week that Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Conference Board said its Consumer Confidence Index had its biggest jump in 6 years in May. The National Association of Realtors reported that sales of existing homes rose about 3% from March to April. The Commerce Department said sales of new single-family houses also rose, but just by 0.3%. The Federal Housing Finance Agency said home prices fell 7% in the first 3 months of the year, but that was less than they fell at the end of 2008, compared to a year earlier. Housing recoveries usually follow employment recoveries. Experts say job losses might slow later this year, but the unemployment rate could rise until the middle of next year.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
The National Association for Business Economics has its latest predictions for the American economy. Most of the 45 business economists questioned said they expect the recession to end in the second half of the year, but they also expect a slower-than-usual recovery. Still, there were more signs this week that Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Conference Board said its Consumer Confidence Index had its biggest jump in 6 years in May. The National Association of Realtors reported that sales of existing homes rose about 3% from March to April. The Commerce Department said sales of new single-family houses also rose, but just by 0.3%. The Federal Housing Finance Agency said home prices fell 7% in the first 3 months of the year, but that was less than they fell at the end of 2008, compared to a year earlier. Housing recoveries usually follow employment recoveries. Experts say job losses might slow later this year, but the unemployment rate could rise until the middle of next year.
Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 7. The Sri Lankan army has been leading what it calls a final push against Tamil Tiger rebels. A military spokesman told VOA that the army hoped to free all civilians trapped in rebel territory by Sunday. The military said troops were moving in from the north and the south on the narrow area of coastline still held by the rebels. On Friday, the United Nations Human Rights Office called for an investigation of possible war crimes in Sri Lanka. The office said The behavior of the military and the rebels could meet the legal meaning of war crimes and crimes against humanity. A UN spokesman expressed concern about reports that government shelling had killed civilians. He also expressed concern over reports of rebels shooting those trying to flee to safety. This week, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon sent his top aide to press for an end to the Sri Lankan conflict. Almost 200,000 Tamil civilians in the north have been displaced since fighting intensified in January. Some people have been able to escape across the waters of a lagoon to a government-controlled area. But thousands of civilians reportedly have been killed and many thousands more wounded.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 8.
The Sri Lankan army has been leading what it calls a final push against Tamil Tiger rebels. A military spokesman told VOA that the army hoped to free all civilians trapped in rebel territory by Sunday. The military said troops were moving in from the north and the south on the narrow area of coastline still held by the rebels. On Friday, the United Nations Human Rights Office called for an investigation of possible war crimes in Sri Lanka. The office said the behavior of the military and the rebels could meet the legal meaning of war crimes and crimes against humanity. A UN spokesman expressed concern about reports that government shelling had killed civilians. He also expressed concern over reports of rebels shooting those trying to flee to safety. This week, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon sent his top aide to press for an end to the Sri Lankan conflict. Almost 200,000 Tamil civilians in the north have been displaced since fighting intensified in January. Some people have been able to escape across the waters of a lagoon to a government-controlled area. But thousands of civilians reportedly have been killed and many thousands more wounded.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 9.
The Sri Lankan army has been leading what it calls a final push against Tamil Tiger rebels. A military spokesman told VOA that the army hoped to free all civilians trapped in rebel territory by Sunday. The military said troops were moving in from the north and the south on the narrow area of coastline still held by the rebels. On Friday, the United Nations Human Rights Office called for an investigation of possible war crimes in Sri Lanka. The office said the behavior of the military and the rebels could meet the legal meaning of war crimes and crimes against humanity. A UN spokesman expressed concern about reports that government shelling had killed civilians. He also expressed concern over reports of rebels shooting those trying to flee to safety. This week, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon sent his top aide to press for an end to the Sri Lankan conflict. Almost 200,000 Tamil civilians in the north have been displaced since fighting intensified in January. Some people have been able to escape across the waters of a lagoon to a government-controlled area. But thousands of civilians reportedly have been killed and many thousands more wounded.
Task 4. Now listen to a passage twice and answer questions 10 to 12. Our listener question this week comes just in time. Hideki Saka in Japan wants to know more about the history of the Academy Awards. A group of top movie industry professionals formed the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences in 1927. The general aim of the organization was to support the growth of the movie industry. Its early projects included creating reports on movie technologies, training programs, and a movie reference library. The group also decided to hold an award ceremony to honor excellence in the movie industry. The first Academy Awards were presented in 1929, during a private dinner at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, California. There were no great surprises that night, because the winners of the awards had been announced 3 months earlier. But the next year, the Academy decided to keep the names of the winners a secret until the award ceremony. The 1930 Academy Awards were also the first to be broadcast on live radio. The ceremony presented only 7 awards, 2 for acting and 1 for best movie, director, writing, cinematography, and art direction. Over the years, more award categories were added. For example, in 1937, the Academy added the awards for Best Supporting Actor and Actress. The Academy made other changes over the years. When the award ceremony grew too large, the Academy started holding the events in theaters. 1953 was the first year that the award ceremony was broadcast on national television. The official name for this famous prize is the Academy Award of Merit, but the award is better known by its nickname, Oscar. The Oscar is a small golden statue of a man standing on a reel of film. There are several stories about how the award received the name Oscar. One story says the Academy's librarian, Margaret Herrick, said the statue looked like her uncle Oscar. But wherever the name for this golden statue came from, the award remains one of the biggest honors in the movie business. Our listener question this week comes just in time. Hideki Saka in Japan wants to know more about the history of the Academy Awards. A group of top movie industry professionals formed the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences in 1927. The general aim of the organization was to support the growth of the movie industry. Its early projects included creating reports on movie technologies, training programs, and a movie reference library. The group also decided to hold an award ceremony to honor excellence in the movie industry. The first Academy Awards were presented in 1929 during a private dinner at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, California. There were no great surprises that night because the winners of the awards had been announced 3 months earlier. But the next year, the Academy decided to keep the names of the winners a secret until the award ceremony. The 1930 Academy Awards were also the first to be broadcast on live radio. The ceremony presented only 7 awards, 2 for acting and 1 for best movie, director, writing, cinematography, and art direction. Over the years, more award categories were added. For example, in 1937, the Academy added the awards for Best Supporting Actor and Actress. The Academy made other changes over the years. When the award ceremony grew too large, the Academy started holding the events in theaters. 1953 was the first year that the award ceremony was broadcast on national television. The official name for this famous prize is the Academy Award of Merit, but the award is better known by its nickname, Oscar. The Oscar is a small golden statue of a man standing on a reel of film. There are several stories about how the award received the name Oscar. One story says the Academy's librarian, Margaret Herrick, said the statue looked like her uncle Oscar. But wherever the name for this golden statue came from, the award remains one of the biggest honors in the movie business.
Section B. Listening-based integrated tasks. Task 1. Listening and dictation.
Why this prize, and why now?
Well, there is an awful lot of carbon in the Earth's atmosphere already, and there are some people that say we've already got too much. We've already gone beyond the tipping point. But whether that's the case or not, what we want to try to do is get every young mind, every scientist, everybody, to try to see if we can extract that carbon out of it and come up with a way of extracting it out. Because, you know, if we can't do that, the danger of global warming actually ending up with the extinction of mankind is that much greater.
You could speak about this for hours, but in a very simple way. How much is out there, and what is it doing?
Well, before the Industrial Revolution, there were 280 parts per million. Now there are 380. That's a huge increase. And what it does is to trap a lot more of the sun's heat in the Earth's atmosphere. And it's giving the planet a fever. That's a sign of poor health that has a detrimental effect on us. So we need to reduce the amount that we're continuing to add.
Who will own the technology? You'll judge this prize, this way of somehow getting what's out there out of the atmosphere so that it is no longer harmful. But who will own the technology?
The individual who gets the $25 million prize will own that technology. I'm sure there will be plenty of people being happy to help fund him. And I'm sure Virgin Fuels will be happy to help fund him. But basically, you know, the important thing is that somebody comes up with the answer.
Is this a gimmick?
No, I don't think it is. What we're facing is a planetary emergency. And so some things that you would never consider otherwise make sense to consider. And it shouldn't be seen in any way as a distraction from the hard work that we have to do in improving efficiency of cars, everything that burns carbon-based fuel. But in addition to that, this is now an idea that should be explored.
But you know what? When you hear about somebody going up and figuring out some sort of contraption to get the bad stuff out of the air, it sounds like, well, we've given up on the other end. We've reached a tipping point. We might as well be farming the stuff out of the air, because nobody is going to stop driving their SUVs.
It's going to be a problem to get the political will of some countries, and particularly America, to actually get out there and encourage people to go for smaller cars, to encourage people to use less carbon. And if we don't get the political will, we are definitely going to need this prize, because we will go beyond the tipping point. But, you know, hopefully we'll get the political will, as well as hopefully somebody will win this prize.
There was an important conference in Paris just last week. Because of global warming, and we feel like it's basically caused by human beings, and 90% sure it's because of emissions. Do you think people in the United States understand that?
I think there's been the beginning of a big shift in public opinion. And I think you've seen a lot of business leaders now calling for changes in our national laws. You've seen a lot of religious leaders, and almost 400 mayors now have embraced the international agreement on this, and many states too. I think we've seen a big shift. We're not there yet, but we're close to a political tipping point, beyond which I think you really are going to see a sea change in the way people demand that politicians in both parties make this their top priority.
Why this prize, and why now?
Well, there is an awful lot of carbon in the Earth's atmosphere already, and there are some people that say we've already got too much. We've already gone beyond the tipping point. But whether that's the case or not, what we want to try to do is get every young mind, every scientist, everybody, to try to see if we can extract that carbon out of it and come up with a way of extracting it out. Because, you know, if we can't do that, the danger of global warming actually ending up with the extinction of mankind is that much greater.
You could speak about this for hours, but in a very simple way. How much is out there? And what is it doing?
Well, before the Industrial Revolution, there were 280 parts per million. Now there are 380. That's a huge increase. And what it does is to trap a lot more of the sun's heat in the Earth's atmosphere. And it's giving the planet a fever. That's a sign of poor health that has a detrimental effect on us. So we need to reduce the amount that we're continuing to add.
Who will own the technology? You'll judge this prize, this way of somehow getting what's out there out of the atmosphere so that it is no longer harmful. But who will own the technology?
The individual who gets the $25 million prize will own that technology. I'm sure there will be plenty of people being happy to help fund him. And I'm sure Virgin Fuels will be happy to help fund him. But basically, you know, the important thing is that somebody comes up with the answer.
Is this a gimmick?
No, I don't think it is. What we're facing is a planetary emergency. And so some things that you would never consider otherwise make sense to consider. And it shouldn't be seen in any way as a distraction from the hard work that we have to do in improving efficiency of cars, everything that burns carbon-based fuel. But in addition to that, this is now an idea that should be explored.
But you know what? When you hear about somebody going up and figuring out some sort of contraption to get the bad stuff out of the air, it sounds like, well, we've given up on the other end. We've reached a tipping point. We might as well be farming the stuff out of the air, because nobody is going to stop driving their SUVs.
It's going to be a problem to get the political will of some countries, and particularly America, to actually get out there and encourage people to go for smaller cars, to encourage people to use less carbon. And if we don't get the political will, we are definitely going to need this prize, because we will go beyond the tipping point. But, you know, hopefully we'll get the political will, as well as hopefully somebody will win this prize.
There was an important conference in Paris just last week. Because of global warming, and we feel like it's basically caused by human beings, and 90% sure it's because of emissions. Do you think people in the United States understand that?
I think there's been the beginning of a big shift in public opinion. And I think you've seen a lot of business leaders now calling for changes in our national laws. You've seen a lot of religious leaders, and almost 400 mayors now have embraced the international agreement on this, and many states too. I think we've seen a big shift. We're not there yet, but we're close to a political tipping point, beyond which I think you really are going to see a sea change in the way people demand that politicians in both parties make this their top priority.